Welcome everyone to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. And then we got some fun stories here to talk about here on the podcast. I'm going to be breaking down my initial thoughts here of The Ascent, as well as a couple cool stories in the Star Wars and Marvel world. But before we do that, a little bit of housekeeping here as always. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Turk, M-A-R-K-T-U-R-C. And of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. I've been talking to you lately here about how much Pokemon Unite I've been playing. I mean, I was even over there reading some patch notes yesterday, which is just kind of crazy. But hey, it shows you just how much of a MOBA that game is, where there is going to be continued balancing. That's what those games are all about, is all about just coming up with, just seeing which characters are too powerful, which are weak, which are being underused. And man, this game is exactly one of those games. There are so many changes coming to many of the Pokemon out there. So if you are a player playing Pokemon Unite and that Gengar keeps coming from the jungle, wrecking your face come end game, and you just, you know, are so mad, throwing your controller out the window, there's some changes coming to Gengar. So very awesome to see the team already jumping on that before it even comes to mobile too, which is great. You know, I mean, here we're, I think it's, 2 weeks the game's been out now. We already have a lot of big changes coming to it. So that's pretty awesome to see. Now let's talk about The Ascent here, another video game away from some Pokemon Unite, because hey, Pokemon Unite's kind of becoming my new Final Fantasy 14, where I'm just constantly wanting to talk about it. But The Ascent, this is a new, it's being called kind of like a cyberpunk. It's an RPG, but it's also a twin-stick shooter, because in the end, that's pretty much what the gameplay kind of boils down to. It is available on Windows and, of course, the Xbox One and all the series consoles. It's coming from a team called Neon Giant. And I believe it's a pretty small team that was working on this. But, man, the game looks awesome. Yeah, it says it was only 11 people that developed this game. But when you play it, it does not feel that way at all. Like, it just looks amazing. I'm playing it on an Xbox Series X. Of course, running it, I believe it's 4K, at least 60 FPS this game is running at. It's isometric, so it kind of has a look of like a Diablo or kind of your typical ARPG. But it plays a lot like a game like Smash TV, if you remember that game, where, you know, you're kind of moving with your left analog stick, but then moving your right stick, literally your character is kind of like on a, think of them almost on like a little spinning, you know, axis, if you want to say. And then you're pulling the right trigger to shoot. You do have to reload. Left trigger allows your character to kind of actually aim a little bit higher. There's a couple moments where if you're lower level on some stairs, you can kind of shoot up a little bit higher. You can duck behind cover actually as well. But it starts getting a little bit frantic. I mean, they start throwing a lot of different enemies at you. But the cool thing is, you know, it, like I said, it's an RPG. So there's this whole system of quests in that you're going, and you're kind of traversing through this just incredible cyberpunk world and picking up quests, going through some dialogue trees. I don't know if you're really changing the way the story goes, but you're actually like, you can kind of choose what your character is asking questions about to the character. So if you only want to just pick up the quest, get the story from that, and leave, you can do that with the character. Or they give you like five or six other different kind of like little, you know, things you can kind of investigate, get more information about the world, more information about the characters. and on top of that, you have your whole quest log. So you go in there, pick which one you want active, you press up on the D-pad, and they give you a line to follow kind of, you know, on the ground. So you're kind of just knowing where to go, but I don't know, like, it's really, really neat. I don't know really how much, that's the thing, I don't know how much of the game I'm actually going to play. That's the thing, like, I was playing it, and I was really enjoying it, because I'm telling you, right now, the style of this game, like, you think about where Cyberpunk 2077 was, and how just incredible, you know, that world was, Night City and all that. I gotta say, like, this may go to that next level. This world just seems so grimy and so gritty, and the effects and everything in the world, like, things are blowing up, or, you know, the physics that are there when you're, like, let's say there's a gas canister you shoot, you know, that thing kind of, you know, starts shooting flame out of it, starts kind of building up and explodes. You can see the pressure and the physics that they put into the game. It's actually running, I think, on Unreal Engine 4. So a lot of that is kind of based off the engine they use. And even at times as you're kind of walking through the levels, the camera kind of pans. So it's not always just isometric. Sometimes at one point, it was even kind of like the camera kind of slowly panned down to the side. And, you know, when you look in the background, I was kind of in a city area. You see some ships flying by, or there's small little robots, or, you know, you may see one robot kind of walking by, but you see one that maybe lost a leg and it's just kind of, you know, sitting down in the corner. There's just so many neat things about this game. I played yesterday for, I want to say it was maybe like an hour and a half or so. But I don't know. There was something about it where I don't think it's one of those games that I could just sit down and be like, I'm going to finish this game and play. I don't even know how long it is. Maybe it's 20 hours, 30 hours. I'm sure you could play for a long time, because it seems like it's one of those games where, like, even when you finish the quote unquote campaign, there's going to be all these side quests, and I'm sure they're going to put out a lot of content RPG wise to kind of continue the game. There's always something to grind for. But I don't know. I don't know if it's enough to kind of pull me back. And I'm thinking of how a game kind of like Diablo, even though the gameplay of Diablo is somewhat similar, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain for me why I didn't have the pull to come back to it. I like the setting. It seems like the leveling up of getting gear, because that's the other thing. I mean, you get gear, you're buying art, you're getting armor, you get two weapons, you get a grenade, which I forget what they call that slot, but I'm sure you can get other things besides just the grenade that I got. You can also unlock two different abilities that you're kind of funneling money into, that you're actually your cybernetic upgrades that you're getting. So right now my character has like kind of this force push that just blasts out and does damage and kind of forces enemies back, because at times it gets a little bit frantic. Tons of enemies kind of running at you. I'm able to kind of push them back. But it's on Game Pass. I know, you know, being up in the cloud, this actually, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? This probably would be a good xCloud game with the on-screen controls, like on my Kindle, or if you have an iPad or your phone, which I'm assuming it has on-screen controls. I can't confirm that. I know it is on xCloud. But I think this would be a great game to kind of play there. But it's cool. I would say check it out. Again, it's a Game Pass game. The fact that 11 people made this game right there shows, like, wow, it's pretty incredible. And even the soundtrack is amazing too. They got, I forget who it is. It says who it is that did the soundtrack. But it's really neat. I mean, it's just everything about it. It has a very, very unique style. If you're into cyberpunk things, this is up your alley. Hey, I was going to say it's maybe the best cyberpunk game to come out this year, but hey, Cyberpunk 2077 came out last year. But it may be the best cyberpunk game to come out in a year, let's say. I don't know. I mean, hey, I haven't finished either one of the games. I mean, Cyberpunk, I haven't even gone back to. I'm waiting for that next-gen upgrade. But it's pretty cool. So go check it out. Hey, if you got Game Pass, why not, right? It's free. Get in there. Check it out. Switching gears away from video games, let's talk about this new Lego Star Wars special that was announced coming to Disney Plus here on October 1st. And this is Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales. They're doing they did the Christmas special last year. They're now doing a Halloween special. And let me read you the description, because this kind of set the stage for where things are going to go in this. And it says, after the events of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, Poe Dameron and BB-8 must make an emergency landing on the volcanic planet Mustafar, where they meet the greedy and conniving Grabala the Hutt. The crime boss has purchased Darth Vader's castle and is renovating it into the galaxy's first all-inclusive Sith-inspired luxury hotel. While waiting for his X-Wing to be repaired, Poe, BB-8, and Grabella and Dean, a plucky and courageous young boy who works as Grabella's mechanic, venture deep into the mysterious castle with Vader's loyal servant, Vinay. Along the way, Vinay shares three creepy stories linked to the ancient artifacts and iconic villains from across all eras of Star Wars. As Vinay spins his tails and lures our heroes deeper into the shadowy underbelly of the castle, a sinister plan emerges. With the help of Dean, Poe, and BB-8, we'll have to face their fears, stop an ancient evil from rising, and escape to make it back to their friends. Sign me up. Awesome. This is great. I mean, the fact that it's taking place in Vader's castle on Mustafar is awesome in itself. But just the idea that it's not that Vader, like, living in the castle? No. Vader's dead, and this is Now we're just renovating it and turning it into a Sith-inspired luxury hotel. I mean, that in itself is great. This kind of reminds me of like, if you remember last October, I remember talking about how I was watching all the Treehouse of Horrors of The Simpsons. That's how I see this going. Like, we're getting three stories, and who knows? This could be something they could do every year. Give us, Star Wars Terrifying Tales 2. I mean, this is just fantastic. I mean, the Christmas special was a lot of fun and was neat, you know, kind of them doing that. But this just seems like it's going to be, it's ripe. Star Wars is ripe for something like this. Something fun for kids to, you know, have fun, watch, around the Halloween time. And there's so many different villains and stories that could be told in a galaxy far, far away. Not only from what we know so far, right? I mean, obviously it's going to kind of deviate and go in some crazy funny ways. But, you know, with just characters we know. But down the line, if they want to continue doing this, I could see them just creating so many new things. I mean, Grabala the Hutt. Who is this Grabala the Hutt? I got to know who this character is. Very, very cool. Again, that's Star Wars Terrifying Tales. They put out a really awesome poster for this thing. And it's got like a hand coming up with a red lightsaber. And it just says, rest in pieces with the Imperial cog on a tombstone. I love it. I absolutely love it. Very, very cool. So I'll definitely be watching that when that thing comes out. Let's see, one final story here today. What If, I mentioned, coming out next week, next Wednesday, a week from today, we will have What If Wednesday, breaking down the episodes of What If. And this was Brandon Winderbaum. He's one of the executive producers of the show, talking about potentially spinning one of these projects off into maybe something else, like a future maybe live action project. And here's what he said. He said, we wanted each story to be able to be open and shut in that half an hour time frame, but it's hard not to imagine more chapters with some of these characters. I hope that one day we get to see some adventures in some of these alternate universes, or more of some of these adventures in these alternate universes. He said, all you have to do to prove that is, look back at how many stories from the What If comics ended up in the main continuity. My prediction is a similar thing could happen on the cinematic side as well. So, kind of saying that maybe we may see some of these go into the live action. And you wonder, could you see, like, kind of running yesterday all over the internet, was everybody talking about Agent Carter and kind of this Captain Carter that we're going to see in this first episode? Could you imagine getting, Haley Atwell to come back and just straight up play Captain Carter, you know, in a series, do a whole, you know, series about that? Would be awesome, you know. Or could they go out and do a whole thing with the Marvel Zombies, which we know we're going to get that as a What If episode? Could we get an actual Marvel Zombies series? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But I just think kind of just the idea that they're floating that out there is cool as hell. And, you know, just had my mind going crazy. So, you know, nothing confirmed there, obviously, but would be pretty awesome to see. And actually, the example they kind of brought up was like Ahsoka. We had Ahsoka in Star Wars in the animated series, but then, of course, she switched over to be live action now in The Mandalorian, as even getting her own series. I think Ahsoka is a little bit different because she's straight up canon. These are just kind of more side stories, kind of, alternate universe type stuff, but who knows? Maybe we'll get it. We'll just have to wait and see. But that's going to do it for me here today, guys. Let me know, what would you want to see from the What If universe? What would you want to see in the MCU that is not really considered canon? What would you want to see? Shoot me an email, theenthuselife@gmail.com, or hit me on Twitter @MarkTurk. Well, that's it for me today, guys. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, doing it again. And until then, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you next time.